I'm at the Media 140 Social Media Week London Third Sector event with Stuart Witts, who you will find at Stuart Witts on Twitter. And I recommend you follow him. Stuart, have you learnt anything today?
I think the person that I learnt the most from probably was, I think everyone's going to say this, was John from Bullying. Certainly about extra stuff that we can add, because I work for Marie Curie, that we can add to our site to increase links from social networking. Other than that, I think it's interesting that no one touched on ROI, which is good, I think, because I don't think that's a very valid point for this kind of thing. I think as soon as you focus on that, the fact is at the moment it isn't bringing in much fundraising, and so it would be easy for the bean counters to shut it all down and say, where's the money? But I think in the future it will be, and if you're not there now, then in however long time, when you forgot to be in there, it'll be a huge amount of fundraising and you would have missed the boat. So
yeah, I spoke to John after his presentation actually, and he said that the ROI can be measured by what happens if you don't do it rather than if you do it.
Absolutely, yes. And also, it's hard. I don't see how you can measure influence to a degree. I mean, you have no idea what impact your message is having on these people. I mean, to simply go via clicks or retweets means nothing. I mean, I've retweeted some amazingly crap inane stuff in my time. It doesn't mean that it's worthwhile or useful. I think it's important to forget that and just see what, I mean, if you're gaining followers and you're gaining one story at Marie Curie, actually, we for quite a while we only had 2,500 Facebook fans, and in the past 2 days we've made just over 5,000, and we're not entirely certain where they're coming from, but we have just put an ad on Facebook which links to the Facebook fan page for people to become fans, and so we've literally tripled our fan numbers. At one point we were getting a fan every minute joining up, so it's amazing to see those sort of spikes happen.
So what you're basically saying, I guess, is that we're at such an early stage with social media that putting a yardstick to it probably isn't relevant, that it's a bit like you and your projects. Let's just push it out there and see where it goes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you said at the moment, I think a few of us feel like this is the early days, almost like the early Bill Gates, Steve Jobs computing days. And I'm pretty certain when they were in their garages tinkering away, no one said to them, but how much money are you going to make from this? Because if they'd said, oh, we've sold one, they'd have said, well, you can get lost. We're not going to build any more. So certainly, to focus on the money now is the wrong place to be looking.
Of course, the problem that we have is that charities by nature are supposed to be raising money for a good cause, not chucking it all down some social media chute for no return. So some people, bean counters or otherwise, might argue, well, that's not a valid point. You know, you're taking money off the public and organisations to fund your charity. You should be able to measure the response from your social media spending. What do you say to that?
Well, I suppose if you think about banner ads, if you think about the amount of money spent on banner ads, banner advertising, and when you look at the response rates, realistically, what, 0.02%, if that, horrendous numbers, really. And all you're doing is you're just tracking people clicking on it. And yes, you can follow them through the site, I suppose, but the numbers are so small, yet no one stops spending on those, even though they should, I think. And so to kind of redirect that money, I think, into social stuff, which can be a lot cheaper. You don't have to spend huge amounts of money. I mean, even if you were to hire one person to engage with your fans, you know, full time, what, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 grand a year, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. That's such a tiny amount of money compared to spending on advertising. And yet this person could just spend their whole day just talking to people. And I think, I mean, obviously I touched here on the idea of the voice, you know, do they need to be trained? Is there a strategy in that? And, all right, in some ways it sounds a bit naive, but I kind of think you know, when did we forget what it was like just to talk to someone? I don't need to have a strategy in place to have common sense. I mean, of course, yeah, if it's a sensitive subject, then you have to be cautious. But in real life, if a friend of mine was to tell me something, you know, very sensitive, and I wouldn't barrel in with advice, I'd say, oh, that's terrible. Perhaps I can point you in a direction of someone that can help. I don't have to be giving them advice all the time. I could just interact with them, just engage.
I think that was actually a point made by some of the speakers, that, you know, stop being afraid of this. Just go out and be human, because human actually works.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to throw this one in there, which a point I made on a blog a while ago, that I love this, is that companies, of course, have spent too long outsourcing their thinking, that they've clearly forgotten what it was like just to be a human being. I took the swear word out then. And it's a shame, because they really are going to just have to start talking to their customers, their consumers, their advocates, whoever they are, as real people, and apologise if they make mistakes, help them if they can, or point them in another direction. And also, I think in charities, I don't see any reason why you can't point them to another charity if you think they can help better. It doesn't have to be a competition. If we all work together, then we can all benefit. But I'd hate to see the kind of backstabbing in the corporate world be in the charity world as well. I don't think it's necessary.
Thanks very much, Stuart.
Pleasure.